for a moment ago she had jilted me. The way of it was this. I had met her and her mother the winter before at Davos, where I had been sent after South Africa, and a spell of playing fast and loose with my health, a possession usually treated as we treat the poor, whom we expect to have always with us. Helen Blantock had been the success of her season in London, had paid for her triumphs with a breakdown, and we had stopped at the same hotel. The girl's reputation as a beauty had marched before her, blowing trumpets. She was the prettiest girl in Davos, as she had been the prettiest in London, and I shared with other normal, self-respecting men the amiable weakness of wishing to monopolize the woman most wanted by others. During the process, I fell in love, and Helen was kind. Lady Blantock, a matron of comfortable rotundity of figure and a placid way of folding plump white hands, had, however, a contradictorily cold and watchful eye, which I had feared at first, but it had softened for me, and I accepted the omen. In the spring, when my London tyrant had pronounced me sound as a bell, I had proposed to Helen. The girl said neither yes nor no, but she had eyes and a smile which needed no translation. So I kissed her. It was in a conservatory at a dance, and was happy for a fortnight. Then came this bidding to dinner. Lady Blantock wrote the invitation, of course, but it was natural to suppose that she did it to please her daughter. It happened to be my birthday, and I fancied that Helen had kept the date in mind. Besides, the selection of the guests had apparently been made with an eye to my pleasure. There was Jack Winston, who had lately married an American heiress, not because she was an heiress, but because she was adorable. There was the heiress herself, nay, Molly Randolph, whom I had known through Winston's letters before I saw her lovely laughing face. There was Sir Horace Jarvison, the richest grocer in the world, whom I suspected Lady Blantock of actually regarding as a human being, and a suitable successor to the late Sir James. Besides these, there was only myself, Montague Lane, and I believed that the dinner had been arranged with a view to my claims as leading man in the love drama of which Helen Blantock was leading lady, the other characters in the scene merely being on as our support. If this idea argued conceit, I was punished. It was with the entree that the blow fell, and I had a curious, impersonal sort of feeling that on every night to come, should I live for 100 years, each future entree of each future dinner would recall the sensation of this moment. Something inside me, that was myself yet not myself, chuckled at the thought, and made a note to avoid entrees. We had been asking each other's plans for August. Molly and Jack had said that they were going to Switzerland to try the new Mercedes, which had been given as a wedding present to the girl by a school friend of that name, and of many dollars. Then, solely to be civil, not because I wanted to know, I asked Sir Horace Jarvison what he meant to do. Hardly did I even expect to hear his answer, for I was looking at Helen, and she was in great beauty. But the man's words jumped to my ears. "Miss Blantock and I are going to Scotland," answered the grocer, in his fat voice, which might have been oiled with his own bacon. I stared incredulously. "Together," he informatively added. Lady Blantock laughed nervously. "I suppose we might as well let this pass for an announcement," she twittered. Nell and Sir Horace have been engaged a whole day. It will be in the Morning Post tomorrow. Really, it has been so sudden that I feel quite dazed. It was at this point that I drank to the girl's happiness, looking straight into her eyes. I have a dim impression that the grocer, who no doubt mistook her blush for maiden pride of conquest, essayed to make a speech, and was tactfully surprised.